Welcome to the jungle. Hey, Perv. Happy hump day. Let's get that out of the way right off the top. Nice to have you here. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Thank you very much, Alvin. If anybody should understand hump day, Alvin, it's you. Come on, man. Sleep at the switch. It is hump day. All right, lots to get to on this Wednesday. How you living? What's going on? What's good? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I've got two interviews for you, like I always do, and open phones to get things started off. If you're maybe late to the proceedings, we no longer do our What's Your Beef segment on Wednesday. We do that on Thursdays. I still get some run-up on Wednesday, like, yo, what time are you doing it? Tomorrow. What time are you doing it? Tomorrow. But plenty of time for that. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free. Use it. First interview is at 9:40, so you can get up in here quickly, early, and often. Step it up. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Or if you want to hit me up on Twitter, you know that works, at Jim Rome. And finally, yes, we are taking emails at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. The interview is set up like this. A couple of college football coaches. The new head coach at Cincinnati, Scott Satterfield, joins us. Really interesting hire there. And look who they're playing in the bowl game. Cincy v. Louisville. Awkward! But he won't be there for that. Anyway, I'm into this. Scott Satterfield, Cincinnati head football coach at 9:40. Coming up at 10:20, it is one of the great rivalries in all sports. Army v. Navy. Army head football coach Jeff Monken joins me at 10:20. So those two interviews, two college football coaches, 9:40, 10:20. It's Wednesday. We've got an ATP. I've got a Jim Rome podcast to push out after the program. Today's guest, NFL great Eddie George, a renaissance man, a really interesting guy. Eddie George joins me later on today. So that's how it's all setting up. I'd love to hear from you. If you know what you want to talk about, call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. Hey, how about this? Yo, what up, NYC? How are my radio peeps in the city? How's my TV crew? How y'all living, fam? It has been a minute since NYC got to lead this program, but there is some huge news today. Come on, Alvin. Old school me. Dude, am I pulling teeth all day long with you? Already, Avi. Come on, man. Huge news, at least for Yankee fan, because it got to be a real touch-and-go situation over the past 24 hours, didn't it, Yankee fan? In fact, it looked for a moment like Aaron Judge was actually gonzo, like he was a goner, because there was a since-deleted tweet from John Heyman last night that sent Twitter into an absolute mouth-foaming frenzy. The tweet read, and I quote, "Aaron Judge appears headed to the Giants." End of tweet. No, I did not misspeak, nor did I misread that, nor did I misremember. That was the exact tweet. Quote, "Aaron Judge appears headed to the Giants." And that sent social media wild for a couple of pretty obvious reasons. Number one, it seemed like enormous news. Number two, well, because of Aaron Judge. Turns out Aaron Judge apparently is not Aaron Judge. They're different dudes. Aaron Judge is some other cat who appears to be headed to the Giants because Aaron Judge is not going there. Maybe Aaron is, but Aaron is staying put. Aaron, officially this morning, is still a member of the Yankees. My dude, the immensely talented John Morosi, broke the Aaron Judge news earlier today, and my initial response was the only reasonable response to a story like that. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen. I mean, big news, right? But the real juicy part of this story, of course, is the terms. Because you have to remember how, in fact, we got here in the first place. Because the Yankees lowballed the hell out of Aaron last offseason. And then Judge turned around and jammed it up their backside when he had the single greatest contract season in the history of sports. That was the single greatest FU tour to our front office that we have ever seen. The Yankees' final offer comes in at a reported 8 years, 200. No, actually, check that. Their initial final offer was 8 years, 230, or 8 years, 212, or 8 years, 213 and a half. Regardless, somewhere in that lowball area. I've seen a number of numbers. However, the final deal comes in 9 years, 360 mil. So what we're talking about here is an added year and somewhere upwards of 130 mil or even more than that. Is that any good? The initial offer would have paid him around, I don't know, depending on the number you believe again, 29 mil per, which would have made Judge the 18th highest paid player in baseball. So you've got one of the biggest stars on the biggest franchise in the sport, and they're offering this guy, a homegrown guy, a guy who will end up in the Hall of Fame and maybe with a monument. They were offering to make him the 18th highest paid player in Major League Baseball. So, of course, he did what he did. He didn't even counter. He just said, no, I'm good.
No.
So the final offer, the one he did agree upon, is going to pay him 40 mil per and make him the highest paid position player in the history of the sport. That outrageous season that he just had made him about 10 or 11 mil more per year for the next 9 years. Again, is that any good? Again, have you ever seen a guy make a bigger bet on himself and cash a bigger ticket? The ultimate bet on himself. My man is sprinting to the window right now with that winning ticket to cash it. And apparently, incredibly, he could have gotten even more. Because according to another Morosi tweet this morning, quote, indications are Aaron Judge turned down higher offers elsewhere because he wanted to remain a Yankee. The all-time AL home run king is staying in the Bronx. End of quote. So essentially, Judge cashed the ultimate bet on himself, and he also saved the Yankees from themselves in this process. He carried them on his back all summer long when he could have been really bitter about how they handled it. But that's not what he did. Carries them on his back all summer long, and now he saved their asses from the worst optics of all time. Because, let's face it, the Yankees had to get this deal done. The Yankees could not let one of the single biggest stars in the sport, a homegrown superstar, the consummate Yankee who just hit 62 bombs to become the AL home run king. The Yankees could not let that dude walk. That franchise could not have that player go to another franchise, nor could they have their consummate, homegrown, historic Yankee superstar choose the Giants or the Padres over the Yankees in the midst of his prime. Can you imagine? You want to talk optics. One thing to let this guy get away. One thing to let this guy get away to the Padres, who took a big swing, the Giants, where he's a California native. I mean, that's all bad enough, as much as I like those two franchises. But can you imagine if they let this guy get away and Judge walked 2 days after Brian Cashman was extended? I mean, don't get me wrong. We all know how important it is to make sure that Cashman is taken care of. We all know that Cashman is the number one priority in the Bronx. Everybody understands that. Never mind the fact that he has produced one championship in the last two decades. Never mind the fact that he butchered the hell out of this negotiation with the team's most important player since number two. Forget that Cashman and the Yankees just played themselves and got absolutely owned by Judge. I mean, again, the hell were they even thinking in the first place in lowballing this dude and then making it even worse by leaking those numbers to cover their own ass and make Judge look even worse? Has a negotiation between an elite franchise and one of its most important players ever a homegrown future Hall of Famer ever been handled worse than the way the Yankees handled that initially. So no. No credit for getting this deal done. You did what you had to do, but didn't do what you should have done so much sooner. You're just lucky that this is a stand-up dude who saved you from yourselves and didn't jam you like so many others would have. And as far as Cashman goes, you imagine they sign up Cash for 4 more years and then Judge could have walked 48 hours later? Would have been a total disaster. Basically would have been like taking a flamethrower to the Yankee brand. As bulletproof as that Yankee brand is, that would have done some irreparable damage to that same brand. That would have left a hell of a mark. No way you live that down. We let homegrown Aaron Judge, who just hit 62 bombs, get away. But it's all good, Yankee fan, because we signed homegrown Brian Cashman instead. So in a way, that John Heyman tweet was actually almost accurate. Judge choosing the Giants would have made him arson Judge. But instead, Aaron Judge decided to take less and save the Yankees from themselves. Man, they are lucky. Never has anybody been so lucky to overpay and guarantee a guy so much money as they are. So now that he's making that kind of money, Gerrit Cole is no longer the highest paid bomber. No one asked him his thoughts on Judge's new deal, but I am sure that Cole would have waxed on effusively if they did.
I don't know
how to answer that, to be honest.
I mean,
where's Kirstie?
There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot.
U.S. America.
You know, and I, again,
hey,
again,
way to go, Winston Churchill. Gerrit Cole, orator of a lifetime. They should get this guy a bust in Monument Park for his oratory skills. But you know what's interesting? The dude who really deserves a shout out is that fan who caught Judge's 60th home run ball this year. Remember that guy? The guy who had the lottery ticket snagged right out of the air and then handed it right back to Judge. Remember that guy. Because unlike the Yankees themselves, Yankees superfan Michael Kessler was willing to do whatever it took to keep Aaron Judge in the pinstripes.
If you met Aaron Judge, what would you say to him?
I don't know. I'd just try anything to come back next year, help the heart and soul of the ball club.
Wait. Before you go, do you have any expectations about catching the ball and receiving something in return?
No, just wanted to give him back his history, so any way I could give back to Judge, give him so much to the organization, just do my part.
My man Zikafoos cannot believe what a super fan Kessler is. I'm actually still conflicted about this dude, honestly. He's either the greatest dude ever or the dumbest dude ever. Like, I want to hype this guy so badly, but the urge to clown him is way stronger. I mean, the cat was holding 7 figures in his hand and just gave it back. Like, didn't have somebody mug him and rip it out of his hand. Willfully gave it back. But somehow that dude gets how important Judge is, even more so than the Yankees do. Can't take that away from that guy. He seems to understand better than Cashman or Hal Steinbrenner or anybody else in that organization. Frankly, they ought to give Kessler a job.
Anyway, I could give back to Judge. Give him some.
That dude may have just thrown away a 7-figure lottery ticket, but he never would have been stupid enough to let Aaron Judge walk while the Yankees damn near did it themselves. Again, they're really lucky that Aaron Judge is as good of a dude as he is as good of a leader as good of a Yankee as he is. And that he did not go arson Judge on Cashman and the organization and light them on fire. Once again, I got to give it to him. I have never seen a dude cash as big of a bet on himself as Aaron Judge just did. Nor have I seen a team play themselves as badly as the Yankees just did. So, props to Judge and no credit to the Yankees for doing what they had to do and not doing what they should have done so much sooner. Oh, Frisco fan.
Hey, Frisco fan.
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Frisco.
Hey, Frisco fan. Oh, so close. Hey, Frisco fan.
Hey, Frisco fan.
This close to reliving the Barry Bonds days, brah, minus the roids and the cloud hovering over your head. You were this close to having arson in the middle of your lineup, dude. Hey, Frisco fan, back to the drawing board. When the next available 60-plus home run masher comes clear and hits the market, I'm sure he's all yours, Frisco fan. Hey, Frisco fan. Sorry about that. So close. Hey, Frisco fan. No tweets from Left Eye. From the grave saying that arson Judge is her kind of guy. Oh. Hey, Frisco fan, you thought you had this dude, didn't you, when you saw that tweet that arson was coming? You should have known then, Frisco fan, that it wasn't real. Arson's not going anywhere. Oh. Hey, Frisco fan, you still have a classy organization. You just don't have arson. Oh. You too, Padre fan. Wild. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for some reaction, and what I'm looking for, really, is a strong telephone call. Somebody step up. You have the digits. You have a phone. Use it for the right thing. All right, in addition to that, hey, NYC fam, how about you leading the program? That felt good. In addition to that, Baker Mayfield is a member of the Rams. I want to pose a question. I'm going to pose the question right now and then answer it later on, but let me pose the question. Who has fallen farther, faster, Baker or the Rams? Fair question. Baker was the number one pick overall. And now it's on his third team. The Rams won it all. And now they're, well, picking Baker up off the waiver wire. So who has fallen farther, faster? And which one of the two will get up more quickly? I will get into all of that a little bit later on. Also, an update on OBJ. The Odell Beckham Jr. free agency tour has apparently come to an end. Dude, has there ever been anything more overrated than under-delivered? And I'm not rooting against this guy. I hope he has another run in him. But that didn't end too well. Yeah, Jerry Jones not long ago just slobbering all over himself until he got Odell into the facility for a couple of days, and now he's not. Now he's got dry mouth. Coach Prime is something else. I mean, this story just continues to go and go and go and go. Have they not already gotten their money's worth? I'm not saying this dude's perfect. I'm not saying that I approve of everything he's saying and doing, but I will say this. I cannot take my eyes off it. And some of the news that's coming out every single day is just amazing. Now comes word that he might have Mike Zimmer on his staff? Incredible. He already hired away an existing head coach to be his offensive coordinator. Guys are leaving positions as head coaches to become assistant coaches for the worst Power 5 program in America. That's all the power of Prime. Wild stuff. Oh, Frisco fan. Hey, Frisco fan.
Hey, Frisco fan.
I know it sounded like I was piling on, and it's because I kind of was, but there might be some good news, Frisco fan. Apparently, Jimmy G did not explode his foot completely, and he may not need surgery. So if he doesn't have Lisfranc and doesn't need surgery, you might get him back this year. So you got that going for you, which is nice, Frisco fan. I wonder if I keep talking like this, if maybe I could get stuck. You know how your parents always tell you, don't make a face like that, it'll get stuck. I wonder if I just do Frisco fan in honor of Mike, if I might get stuck like this. What if I came in tomorrow and said, hey, welcome to the jungle, it's Thursday, I'm Jim Rome. And you'd be like, hey, dude, that bit's not funny anymore. You just did it for 3 hours. And I would say, I know, right? But I can't stop talking like this. I got stuck. You'll be like, hey, Van Smack, can you please stop doing that? Or I'll go home and Dodger Janna will be like, hey, Jimmy. And she does call me Jimmy, fact. Jimmy, stop doing that. It's not funny. I'll be like, Dodger Janna, I'm sorry. I got stuck.
Hey, Frisco fan.
Frisco fan. I don't know what happened. Dodger Janna, I don't know. Anyway, just kidding. I'm back. So this is what we're looking at. 1-800-636-8686. You know what? I like this show. It's fun. Now get up in here. Make it more fun. Make it better. Thank you, dude. Small business owners, you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Well, trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you may have made during the pandemic. You might even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. All it takes to find out is a quick and easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation, and then you'll find out if, in fact, you qualify or not. It is that simple. Probably the most important telephone call you ever make. So, the date from onboarding to filing is only 1 month. CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. They're that good. And with over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined, you can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. Or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes out or the funds run out. Make sure 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Bills Mafia, in a word, uh-oh, breaking news, and it is not good. The Bills official Twitter feed reads like this, quote, at Von Miller is out for the rest of the season. It was discovered he had an ACL tear during an exploratory surgery. Hashtag Bills Mafia. Obviously, that is not good news at all. Von Miller was doing exactly what he was brought there to do. Von Miller was doing exactly what he was brought to LA to do and did do last year. The ultimate closer. Von Miller was having a great year. In 11 games this year, he had 8 sacks. He had 12 quarterback hits. 10 tackles for a loss. He had a forced fumble. He had 21 total tackles. He leads the team in sacks and quarterback hits. And doing all of that at age 33. In other words, he is who we thought he was. And was having a big year, so that is a terrible break. Now, I will say this. They've got a number of young pass rushers that are going to have to step up. I'm not saying they've got anybody like Von Miller. Von Miller is a Hall of Famer. Von Miller is a world champion. Von Miller was still playing at a very elite level. I mean, I can't believe how explosive this guy still is or was. But they've got a number of young guys that can step up. It is Ed Oliver time, AJ, Boogie, Greg Rousseau. They've got depth. They've got talent. They've got young legs. They've got guys that can get to the quarterback. The young dudes are playing better this year than they did last year. But there's no getting around it. That's an awfully tough dude to next man up. And the initial reports were not that bad. The initial speculation was not feared to be what it turned out to be. But they go in there, and according to that feed, they go in with exploratory surgery and find out he had a complete tear of the ACL. So now he's out for the rest of the season. Bills Mafia, hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. 1-800-636-8686. Some other reaction. And Bills Mafia, I'll take your thoughts on that. You can spin that any way you want. That is not a good development. But again, if there is a silver lining, they've got a number of young guys who are stepping up and getting to the quarterback and are playing better this year than last. Alfa Romeo, F it. Burn it all.
Bruh.
Burn sincerely, it all. Arson Judge, burning stacks of cash to keep his house warm in the winter.
Burning.
Chris in Montana, they paid so much more than they should have. But they had no choice. I've been talking about this of late. I've always talked about this, but especially this week. Sometimes you have the hammer in your hand, and sometimes you don't. This dude had a sledgehammer. This dude had a jackhammer. He was walking around with a sledgehammer in his hand. Yankees had no choice. They had to. They had to. They did what they had to do, but they did not do what they should have done, and it cost them a hell of a lot of money. And I don't care who you are or how much money you have, 70 mil, 90 mil, 100 mil, whatever that extra amount of money is, it was a hell of a lot of money that had to hurt. But it didn't have to be like that. If you didn't lowball that guy in the beginning, this would have never happened. Lowballed him, leaked it, made him look bad. Would anybody have blamed this guy if because they handled it the way that they did, and then he went out and he did what he did in hitting 62 home runs, and that the Giants wanted him as badly as they wanted him, would anybody have blamed Aaron Judge if he wanted to go back home? Go back to his native Cali? I wouldn't have. So they are so lucky that he is the consummate Yankee and that he was able to look beyond that. Hey, Jimmy, of course Judge wanted to stay in New York City. He has name recognition in New York.
I do have some name recognition.
Regards, Silk Bra.
Bruh.
He actually has name recognition everywhere. But no, to his credit, in all seriousness, he wanted to be a Yankee. He wanted to be one of those guys, you know, one of those great Yankees that were Yankees through and through. DiMaggio, Derek Jeter. I mean, he has a chance to be one of those guys, a Yankee start to finish, who goes into the Hall of Fame, who's a captain, ends up in Monument Park. So credit to him, and they are lucky. Man, they are lucky that's the way he sees it. All right, when we come back. And he was looking at, apparently, a contract offer with a 4 in front of it and still said no. You know, again, you could say, yeah, but he's going to get 360. Yeah, but 40 million is 40 million. Still a lot of money. Yeah, I know. 20 million after taxes. 20 million is still 20 million. And by the way, even if it's not about the 20 million, it's about feeling unappreciated or disrespected. They're lucky he's not that guy and wants to be the other guy, a Yankee. So they got away with it. He got over. He jammed them. He turned them inside out. They played themselves. But all is well that ends well. It's not my money, so I don't give a damn. And they get their guy, and he gets his money. When we come back, Scott Satterfield, the new head coach at Cincinnati, joins us. Jeff Monken coming up next hour. Right now, here's a sports update. Here is Andrew.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. See, you've got some really good topics out there. Hit me up right now. Phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. But as promised, we are joined now by the new head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats, He previously was a head coach at App State in Louisville. He was the 2019 ACC Coach of the Year, the 2018 Sun Belt Coach of the Year. Cincinnati was 9-3 this season, second in the AAC. Cincinnati is going to play Scott Satterfield's former team, Louisville, in the Fenway Bowl on December 17th. We are joined right now by Scott Satterfield. Scott, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good, good. So I would imagine if I were to say to you, what's the last week or so been like, you would say a whirlwind. Let me ask you this. I would imagine leaving Louisville might not have been the easiest decision to make. Ultimately, what did that come down to, and what made the opportunity to join Cincinnati so appealing to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, difficult time there, you know, in the decision-making there. But I just thought Cincinnati was a number one. I mean, there's a ton of great things about it. The tradition here, the winning program, the administration is unbelievable, from our president to our athletic director, a tremendous following here in the city of Cincinnati. There's so many great things about it. And, this program here is 12 bowls in the last 15 years, 7 conference championships. I mean, the investment here is going to be incredible. We're getting ready to spend over $100 million on, new facilities, indoor football building, all the things. So, but this program is fully invested, and we're making a transition into the Big 12 Conference. There's so many positives, and I'm just honored to be their head football coach.
Scott Satterfield joining us right now. You know what's kind of interesting is I think fans that are close to it know this, but back in 2016, Luke Fickell just did beat you out for that job. I'm wondering, have you always had that in the back of your mind? That did you ever think, maybe ultimately I could still end up there someday?
Well, you never know, but I did. Once that happened, you're starting to look at it a lot more closely. And Coach Fickell did an unbelievable job here. Tremendous amount of respect for him and what he was able to accomplish. So since that point in time, I've always followed him. And they've won a ton of football games. It's the winning tradition here is like no other. That's what I want to be a part of. It's a totally different situation compared to 4 years ago. Coming into this situation, they're used to winning. They expect to win, and it's in the DNA. And so, that's part of the reason that you want to be a part of something like this, and I'm excited about it.
Right, Scott. I was going to ask you about that situation because you're right. It's so different. For instance, when you took over at Louisville, they were coming off a 2-win season, which you improved to 8 wins in year one. Different dynamic, of course. Now the Bearcats had 9 wins this year under Luke Fickell. They made history last season as the first Group of 5 program to reach the college football playoff. So how do you go? And as you mentioned, you've got a lot of support and a lot of resources, but how do you go about building on that great success that they're already having?
Yeah, I mean, we have to get out and recruit. I mean, we have to continue to bring in, some great players, and that starts right here in the city of Cincinnati. I mean, this high school football is some of the best in the country. And so, we're going to start right here in our backyard, try to lock down these guys that can play to come help us and play, in front of their hometown. I think it starts right there, getting a staff in here that are going to build these guys up, continue to hold them accountable, but also love on them. And serve them and make them, want to be a part of a great program. We're in a different landscape of college football right now that just changed over the last couple of years, NIL, transfer portal. And the way we treat our players and the way we handle them, they'll want to stay here and they'll want to be a part of this. And I think that's a huge responsibility for us. And I'm excited about that, and this is a great place that we can get that done.
I think that's so interesting and so important what you just said. Scott Satterfield, my guest, it is so crucial right now with the portal. Check this number out, Scott. I saw this. I find this really interesting, that of the 13,000 players on the FBS level, reportedly 1,000 of them have entered the portal. So how do you personally balance interest in players that are available in the portal versus traditional recruiting of high school players? How will you approach that?
Yeah, we're all trying to figure that out and trying to get a good number. I really believe you have to build your team with high school football players. We're going to continue to do that. And again, we got some great players right here in our backyard that we have to go get and want to be a part of this. I think in a perfect world, you can get most of your players from the high school ranks and continue to develop them and bring them in and play. But also, you got to go into portal. It's part of the landscape now, and so we have to go find players in that portal that fit what we want, the kind of players that have integrity, that have character, but also are really good football players with experience. And so where you do have a few deficiencies on the roster, that's where we'll hit the portal and try to bring in some guys to shore up those position groups. But I certainly think you're going to have to do both. But we want to lean on more of the high school player because I just think that you're going to have them for more long-term. And hopefully their experience here, that they'll want to be here and finish out their career.
Cincinnati head football coach Scott Satterfield joining us. So, Scott, obviously early signing day is fast approaching. It's got to be a really hectic time. How are you approaching the challenge of both building out that staff and recruiting simultaneously?
Yeah, it's I haven't slept much. I think it starts right there. It's been, we've been wide open, from when the sun comes up till late at night. And, we started with the commitment list that's been here at Cincinnati. I called all of them the first night I was here. We're going to have a big weekend this weekend, bringing them on campus to meet myself and a couple of staff members. We're looking at the portal. I mean, we're calling guys in the portal that we think can come in and help us as well. Also the relationships that we had, from Louisville that we were recruiting. We got a lot of good players that were sealed to go there. But, now with this change, then we're going to see if we can, get some guys over here. So we'll hopefully host a few of those guys. So you got to look at all avenues right now. We're, again, looking for the right type player, the right person that's got the right stuff inside of them, but that can also play. And, I think that's what we've been doing. We haven't stopped, and we're going to continue that. December 21st is going to be approaching very fast.
Right. And, Scott, what a weird coincidence, right? Louisville and Cincinnati playing in the Fenway Bowl on December 17th. You're not going to coach that game because you're doing, well, what we're talking about. You're going to recruit. You're going to build your staff. But if that weren't bizarre enough, of course, you've got both benches on the same sideline. I mean, how does that work? Could you even go to that game even if you had the time or wanted to?
No, I don't think so. I put my heart and soul in that program for 4 years and really, love on those players and wish them nothing but the best. But now my heart is here. My heart is at Cincinnati. And so, I'm going to pour everything I have into these players and this football team. It's such a unique situation. And I talked to, our athletic director, and I was like, I'm not touching that game. I'm not going to be anywhere near it. Only thing I'm doing is building out a staff and recruiting. And this is, the way college football is now, these changes happen this time of year. And it's just so unique that we happen to be playing each other. You can't make this up, so all our focus is going to be on the future and future football here at Cincinnati.
You talk about compiling that staff or building that staff. How big a priority is a strength coach? And have you identified that individual?
Yeah, that's the number one hire. We got to get an outstanding individual that's, because obviously everybody knows they're around our players each and every day. Not only are they building them up physically, but they're also mentally. And so that is critical. We have several names in mind that we're going to bring in starting today. I'm starting to talk to guys and bringing some guys in, and hopefully we'll have someone in place here over the next week. I think that is the most critical hire that I have. And bring someone in here with high integrity that again is going to pour into our guys, but also going to develop them physically and mentally. And we're going to get a great one, one of the best in the country.
Scott, one last thing. You mentioned the move to the Big 12. That's going to happen in July. It creates new opportunities, of course, for the entire university, along with more challenging opponents in football. You've made similar types of transitions before. How do you view this transition to a Power 5 conference, and how do you approach it?
Yeah, I mean, this is very unique, too. Heading to the Big 12, which is in transition as well with Oklahoma and Texas that will be leaving. It's going to be a lot more competition week in and week out. The venues that we'll be traveling to and playing in are, obviously outstanding. And to be able to host some of those teams here is going to be incredible in our state. And what an unbelievable atmosphere that we have here. So, again, it comes down to, getting the kind of players that we need to get to compete. And the right ones, and that's going to start with getting a great staff, and then selling that our program to those recruits. We know it's going to be a difficult situation. Well, I mean, we don't even know who we're playing yet in the conference, but we do know the kind of players we need to get to be able to compete at a high level. We just watched TCU and Kansas State. Of course, Kansas State ends up winning it. There's a tremendous amount of parity in that league, from top to bottom, and it's going to be highly competitive. And so we got to have the top players to be able to go in there and compete, to try to compete for championships, because that's what we're all about.
Listen, one last thought, Scott. You've been really good with your time. We've covered a lot of ground, but the changes to the sport have been so dramatic in recent years, from NIL to the portal to conference realignment. Do you feel good about the overall direction of the sport, or maybe do you have concerns, and do you just lean in and embrace it because, frankly, you really have no choice?
Well, frankly, we don't have any choice, so we do have to embrace it, you know. But I do have concerns as well, you know, especially as we look at the landscape of the NIL, which I'm all for, and I believe we need to be able to compensate our student-athletes with, you know, that do so much for these universities. I think that is outstanding that we're able to do that. I think the issue comes in the transfer. I think when we're able to transfer from one school to the next each semester, you know, if a guy gets disgruntled and wants to leave, he's all of a sudden he's out of there. You know, or, and here's what's happening, is guys are getting enticed on other campuses about opportunities to come right now, and we're gonna compensate you through NIL. And, you know, guys are getting recruited right off the campus. We have to do something about that. We have to be able to enforce that. I think that's the major problem. So, yes, there's a lot of things we're going to have to clean up when it regards to NIL and transfer. And I think across the board in college football, everybody knows that, and we need some leadership to step up to make that happen.
You can only imagine what the last 48 hours or so have been like, Scott. Really appreciate that. The new head football coach at Cincinnati is Scott Satterfield. Scott, great to have you back. Thank you so much. Enjoy the conversation as always.
Yeah, really appreciate you having me on, Jim. Go Bearcats.
You got it. Scott Satterfield joining us. Man, that is really a wild situation, isn't it? Yeah, you've got Cincinnati, you've got Louisville, rivals, they're about 100 miles apart, and then they inevitably end up playing in the same bowl game. And as I mentioned, the benches are on the same side of the field. Like, what was he going to do? And I've talked to a number of coaches this time of year that if they make that change, I mean, it is a whirlwind. You got that early signing period coming up, and guys come in, and they've got to get acclimated quickly. Trent Dilfer was on yesterday and was talking about similar things. Dilfer was incredible yesterday. People, that came late in the program, there were people responding to that interview saying that's the best interview I've heard in 25 years or 30 years. Scott Satterfield also said the same thing Trent Dilfer did. We're not sleeping at all. We've got a lot of work we got to get done. And then on top of that, another dynamic, another rivalry. You've got Army-Navy, nothing quite like that. Jeff Monken is the head coach at Army. He joins me next hour. All right, so that's hour number one. As I like to say, smooth and easy. That went well. Let's do it again. Come right back. Hour number two. I'll start the second hour with open phones. I do want to talk about Aaron Judge. I can reset that. Odell Beckham Jr. Now we sit and wait. Interesting note about Greg Berhalter. What's going to happen to him? Yes, I'm still talking soccer on this program. All of that still ahead. Don't you go anywhere.